Welcome to the May 13th recording of the CASB School Board Advocate with Matt Cook, CASB's Director of Public Policy and Advocacy. And this is actually the last School Board Advocate of this legislative season, 120 days, and Matt is still walking and smiling. So take it away, Matt.
Thank you, Leslie. And they used almost every hour of those 120 days. I think the Senate adjourned a few minutes before the House did, but it was roughly after 11 o'clock on Wednesday, May 11th, and they had to be done by midnight. I think a lot of people did not think they were going to go that late, and then obviously some things took over. So the School Board Advocate is packed full of a bunch of information, and I do encourage you to go out and take a look at the actual published version on the CASB website or the one that is in your mailbox as a CASB member. Lots to go over there. Before we jump into some of that, I will encourage you to head out to the CASB website as well and register for one of the legislative wrap-up meetings. CASB Executive Director Sherry Wrench and I are going to be out on the road to several spots around the state. And if you can't make it to one of the local meetings, there is a Zoom version that will be available as well. And we will go over in much more detail the bills and give you a sense of where we go from there. Let's jump in with school finance, which is always one of the critical elements for CASB members, as you all have to approve and adopt a budget for the new fiscal year, which starts July 1. The school finance bill, House Bill 1390, was the last bill that the Senate and the House approved and concurred and sent to the governor. The bill became a bargaining chip, if you will, to leverage additional movement on the fentanyl bill. Fentanyl, as many of you have probably aware, is a highly, well, I've heard it called poison, but it's a highly impactful drug that has made a big entrance into Colorado. Very addictive, very strong. And so that bill to figure out what to do with fentanyl laws was one of the last things they had to get done. And they kept going back and forth between the House and the Senate. And unfortunately, school finance got caught up in that because the legislature cannot adjourn by law without passing the School Finance Act. So they knew they had to get that done. And so they used that as a bit of leverage. So good news on the School Finance Act, the budget stabilization factor falls to its lowest level in 10 years, $321 million. That is a significant reduction when you consider just a few years ago, we were over $1 billion in BS factor. So still plenty of work to do there to get that down. Also would highlight a couple other things related to education funding. I encourage you to go out and take a look at Senate Bill 22-127. This is a bill that will add an additional $80 million for funding of students who have special education needs in the Tier A and Tier B categories. That's good news for a number of reasons. One, those students deserve that level of support. Secondly, many school districts have to fund those SPED services out of general education dollars. So this will help make up for some of that. It doesn't completely do what we need to do in regards to funding, but it's a big step forward. The other piece of this is that it is now baked into the formula as a categorical, so it will go forward year over year, which is also a huge benefit. One of the bills that made a lot of noise at the end of the session, Senate Bill 22-202, this is a mill levy override match from the state. As many of you know, Colorado has a patchwork of mill levy overrides across the state. Some districts have lots of MLO and have the local property values and assessed values to support significant increases to their district budgets. Many parts of the state do not have any mill levy overrides, or if they do, they generate a very small amount of money because there's just not the assessed property value wealth to support much in a mill levy override. So this is a bill that provides $10 million to allow school districts, based on a formula, that have a MLO in place but don't generate much money. So you could apply to the state to receive a match for some portion of your local mill levy. $10 million does not go real far with that amount of money. There's roughly 30 districts that could benefit from some of that. Very complicated process, so I encourage superintendents, CFOs, board folks, to dig into that bill, ask some questions, and we will have more details as we go forward. Para was a big issue for the House and the Senate, the General Assembly this year. A couple of bills I will highlight allow para retirees, House Bill 221057 and House Bill 221101, allow para retirees to come back to work in some educational fields, both educators and in some cases in rural districts, folks who are not in the classroom per se, bus drivers, nutrition folks, some of those things, without impacting their para benefits. So we all know that there is a huge shortage of educators and that folks are just not joining the education industry at the levels that we have seen in decades past. And so this is a small attempt to help put some of those folks back in the classroom who want to without impacting their para benefits. So that's good news. I would also encourage folks, as we look ahead, House Bill 221202, this is the bill that creates a working group. It will include CASB members to study how to implement the new at-risk funding factor. So the Legislative Interim Committee on School Finance will meet again this interim. And one of the big charges they have is to figure out how to implement a new at-risk funding factor for the 23-24 school year. Keep your eyes tuned to that. It is only the middle of May, but we are already thinking about the November election. And one of the big items that's going to be on the election ballot this year are property taxes. Actually, there'll be a number of tax-related questions, I believe. But in an attempt to head off one that would have permanently reduced some property tax assessment rates, the General Assembly has passed Senate Bill 22-238. What this bill would do is set some residential and business property assessment rates and then provide a backfill measure for counties and local governments, including school boards, to receive some money from the state to make up for what those reduced assessment rates would leave as a budget hole in many of those. So the fiscal note on that is very well written, as most of them are. And I encourage you to go out again to the CASB website, look at the School Board Advocate, click on that link. All right, a few things on student achievement that are big. The big one, obviously, House Bill 221295. Leslie, we've talked about this a lot, early childhood. The Department of Early Childhood, a brand new state agency that's going to oversee universal pre-K. They have hired a director for that position now. And now the work of putting that whole department in place has now begun. And so that was a big bill, huge price tag on that. So I encourage folks to go out. There is an opportunity coming up for school districts who want to be a local coordinating organization. So that's the language in the department that would allow you to coordinate early childhood services in your school district. So those are coming up. The application is there. They have a couple of town hall meetings to answer questions coming up. And so I encourage you to go out and look at that. We have linked all of that in the School Board Advocate. But if you also go to the state website and the newly created Department of Early Childhood page, all of that information is there as well. Two bills related to educator evaluation, Senate Bill 69 and Senate Bill 70. These two bills together basically extend the moratorium for 2 years on using student growth data in teacher evaluations as we come out of the COVID pandemic. The data has not been great, even though that we have begun to do some of the standard testing and accountability pieces. We know the data is still not great. And then Senate Bill 70 specifically has some call-outs for the amount of growth, student growth, that has to be included in an educator evaluation. So I encourage you to go out and look at those with your board and superintendent leadership teams, your HR folks, and take a look there. A couple of things to highlight just on the policy side. School board executive session, CASB in conjunction with the Poudre School District and a number of our member districts passed this bill to help allow school districts to meet in executive session and begin negotiation, at least giving some guidance for negotiations to your HR team if you're hiring a new superintendent. It does not change the open meetings law. You still have to do many things in open meeting. It just says if you have named more than one candidate as a finalist, you have the ability to do that. So keep in mind as we get ready to send out the CASB special policy update later this summer, that's one that we will want to highlight. And then House Bill 22-1252, school contracts. This also came from a CASB delegate resolution from the St. Vrain School District to align Colorado school contracts with the Colorado Procurement Code. Some school contracts have language that is different, and oftentimes that can open up problems because of the way that vendors present contracts and what the state has. So a good chance to bring those into alignment. A number of other bills there. We won't take a lot of time with them. I encourage you to go out and look at the filtering, the clean drinking water bill in schools and child care centers, heavily amended from where it started. CASB, along with a number of our education sister organizations, worked really hard on this bill to get it into a more purposeful form that can actually, I think, help. Now is a test first and then remediate, whereas the original bill was, we're going to remediate everything. I encourage you to go out and take a look at that. House Bill 22-1376, the school discipline data reporting. Again, we will have more information on this when CASB gets ready to send out the special policy update, but this has some new language on the procedures dealing with restraints and seclusion, as well as some significant new reporting requirements to CDE. Lots and lots of bills. They set a brand new record this year for the number of bills that they ran and passed. And so the legislation season just kept going on and on. And with that, I will encourage you, one, again, to come and join us for one of the legislative wrap-up meetings. Two, keep your eye out for the full legislative summary that the CASB policy and advocacy and legal teams will be working on and getting out fairly soon. And then three, the work really does not end. As I mentioned, the Legislative Interim Committee on School Finance will start working in late summer. The Joint Budget Committee will have a revenue forecast in June, September, and December. I think lots of people are looking at those with some bated breath, if you will, as we continue to see what the impacts of inflation and supply chain and obviously what's happening in Europe, all of those things, how they factor into the national as well as the Colorado economy. And then, like I said, come November, we have an election. So the governor, a U.S. Senate seat, the entire Colorado House, the entire Colorado U.S. House of Representatives delegation, all up for election. The state board has four seats open, including two new seats, one at large and one for the 8th Congressional District, and then a slew of legislative ballot initiatives. So we will do our best on the CASB staff side to keep you updated on all of that. As Leslie said, now that the General Assembly has adjourned, the school board advocate returns to being published on the fourth Friday of the month, as opposed to our twice a month schedule when the legislators are in session. We don't publish in July because we encourage you all to go out and have a break and hopefully have some vacation and enjoy some summer. And then also keep an eye out for our regional meetings, which will be happening early fall as we head into the delegate resolution and CASB Delegate Fall Conference in October. So lots of stuff there, Leslie. I did not mention a couple other things. I know we've got a webinar coming up on school finance. We've got some links to that. And then, of course, our rural board member roundtables will continue. I think you've got one more this school year, right? Is that right, Leslie?
Right. It's next Tuesday, the 17th, one at noon and one at 6. And then we have the legislative wrap-up tour webinar on Wednesday the 18th from 12 to 1:30. So you just need to make sure you register for these. And then the School Finance Act webinar is also on Wednesday the 18th from 3 to 4. And then Matt and Sherry hit the road on the legislative wrap-up tour on Monday, May 16th, next Monday, heading to Steamboat. And then on Friday, May 20th, Matt and Sherry are in Pueblo. On Tuesday, May 24th, they're in Delta. On Wednesday, May 25th, they are in Fort Morgan. And on Thursday, May 26th, they are in Greeley. Register for one of those. They're free, which is awesome. And there's either a light lunch. Most of them are lunch from 12 to 1:30. but we have a few that are dinner. Other than that, our regional meetings, you can find that information on our webpage. We already have the dates and the locations set up. We actually start on August 22nd this year, starting a little bit early. We're slowing down and then speeding up for the fall, getting ready.
Yep, that's right, Leslie. And it will be here before you know it. So we are excited to head into that. So,
and I want to remind everybody, too, that we always encourage you to read through the digital version of the School Board Advocate, because that's where you're going to get all the links to everything Matt has talked about and more. And with that, we're going to say goodbye for the summer.